Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, Friday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Kevin Dunn. You can always watch the Triple Option as well. All you got to do is go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream there. There should be a link and you can watch the Triple Option. BK is taking some personal time, but he'll be back with us next week. You can cyberstalk him at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at Kevin Dunn 01. John Reichel twisting and tweaking the dial and doing a damn good job with the music selections. And now we got a little Tina Turner. Beautiful.
So you know what he did here?
Yeah.
John, tell him.
Yeah, so I use the power of technology on Spotify here. I in the breaks, I've been asking Rod and KD's favorite, like, artists. So I combined them all into one list and used the recommendation feature to find, like, the best artists for them. And wow. Tina Turner was in the top picks for both.
You did, like, your own little algorithm then.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to see what happened. Tupac was my own decision, but nice. I figured, you know what? We'll see what the robot has to say.
Wow. And Tina, you know what? Tina Turner.
It's, I like Tina Turner.
It's soulful. It's good on that. I got to tell you. I think maybe Spotify knows what the hell it's doing. That's pretty good.
Does.
I didn't mention Tina Turner, but there's a great HBO documentary about Tina. I believe it's called Tina, if I'm not mistaken. It's really good. And if you haven't seen the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It, with Lawrence Fishburne, and Angela Bassett.
Is Lawrence playing Ike and beating up on her?
Yes. Okay. And it's a little terrifying because he's so good at playing the D-bag.
So
Ike
he
Turner.
Nails the D-bag.
He nails the a-hole and the D-bag.
The abusive
Ike.
A-hole.
Yeah, but it's a good movie. Yeah.
All good right. Job. I may check that out because I like Tina so much.
Oh, yeah.
And she got through all that.
Oh, yeah, she did. And Tina's story, it's kind of about.
It's not easy, that's, no, that's but about, she got
that's,
through it.
That's what it's about. The whole thing's about, like, her getting past the abuse and then finding, like, her voice through that adversity.
It's a beautiful voice.
It is, and it's nice legs.
Yeah.
Wasn't Tina Turner's legs, like, insured for, like, millions of dollars?
I also remember.
I swear that was a story.
I feel like with the videos back then, they would definitely showcase the legs.
No, her legs were supposed to be iconic. Tina Turner's leg. I think they were, like, insured. You know how you insure, like, well-known, iconic things?
Yeah.
I
want
to say her legs were insured.
I got you. Yeah, I typed in Tina Turner's legs, and the first thing came up was insured.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was she insured her legs in 1994 for $3.2 million.
Yeah, those legs were.
In 90s money.
Yeah,
yeah, what
exactly,
is that now?
90s money. Those legs were worth a lot of money.
That's Guy Fieri money.
That's Guy Fieri, there you go. You damn right. Food porn money.
I bet you his legs aren't insured.
No, he's
probably
got some
ossobuco.
He's probably got something else insured. I don't know.
His heart's probably insured with all the cholesterol he's got to deal with.
He's probably got something insured, man.
He's got a soul patch insured.
No doubt. All
right. Frosted tips.
Frosted tips. That's probably it. Yeah, you know what? He was one of the first people that was recognizable with the frosted tips and kept it going.
Yeah.
Because he still has it, right?
Oh, yeah. He still has it.
And it's not fashionable anymore. Like, it's done. It's we've moved past that as a fashionable thing.
He frosts part of his goatee, part of it.
He's almost like he's like a wrestler now.
Yeah.
In terms of the persona, like the Guy Fieri persona reminds me of a wrestling persona. And something tells me, like you said, when I meet him in real life, like just hanging out in real life, that he won't be that guy if he's not in public.
I've seen the drapes. I don't want to know about the carpet.
I don't ever want to know. I don't want to know. Too much information.
That poor hair dyer.
Hey, they probably pay a lot of money.
They're paying good money, man. That's the other thing. Whenever you make that type of money, he can't. So he just bought a house in Florida. Fieri did. If you're just joining us, he's got a 3-year, $80 million deal. Like, you can't talk to the real estate agent and be like, hey, you know, I need to try and get
talk
this
him down.
Best bargain.
You
mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You pay whatever you want for this, and we know.
How do you think the rich stay rich? They bargain.
It's not from spending money.
They know how to negotiate, all right? That's how the rich get richer, or stay rich anyway. All right, Texas baseball. They are hoping that they can get a win tonight. It's actually a storm moving in here. There weren't weather concerns with Texas and their next opponent in Oklahoma, right? Were there?
I thought today was going to be okay. I haven't seen this on TV, and honestly, the Big 12 website is not.
Yeah. No, the only reason I said that is because we got bad weather. Doesn't mean they have bad weather there. But I know that was a concern yesterday.
Yes, yesterday,
that was
which weather, is why
was
they shortened
a,
it
weather
up.
Concern for them. But Texas baseball will play the loser of Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and we don't know yet.
I am trying to find that
who
right now.
That is. But they're going to play the loser of West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and supposed to play tonight. They're supposed to play around 7:15, 7:30.
I'm sure that'll be pushed back. It'll be after our show, but it will be on tonight right here on the Horn.
There you go. Shout out. You just brought up the Oklahoma State team where we're talking about the RPI and you're one and done. And, you know, we haven't really looked at the resume of Oklahoma State. May not be that impressive, but the RPI thinks Oklahoma State's a strong team.
They got them at 15.
And what would be, okay, what's better for Texas? To play Oklahoma State or play West Virginia? They've seen West Virginia like four times now in the last, six games?
Yeah.
Start to wane just a little bit. We know the identity of this team is pitching and fielding, but the bats need to have a resurgence here. They need to come to life, try to help out, take the pressure off of the pitching, because the pitching right now, the margin for error is really thin for them.
Yep.
They don't seem to be given any cushion from the Texas hitting.
Will be Monday, I believe. It's definitely Monday, but I think it's on ESPN where they're going to have the bracket reveal. So we're going to see where Texas is, and I'm going to be looking at not only who's coming into town. Watched UCLA, Arizona State last night. UCLA, they don't have actually as many dominant arms as I would have expected. Mm-hmm. They got one starter. They've got a couple really good relievers, and they've got a couple guys that can really swing the bat. But who's going to be coming in? How does Texas match up with them? And then also looking ahead a little bit, who's going to be that super regional matchup? I do think Texas will be hosting all the way through, including the super, if they can get there. But is that a Florida? Is that a team that is playing a hell of a lot better than they did in the regular season, and we know has tons of talent?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, all the teams that are going to be playing are good teams, right?
If you get the super spot, they're going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You're going to get to good, then shades of really good, and then you're going to get to the great teams. That's what you're hoping, that you can get that type of test. So early on, though, I think how some of these young pitching steps up is going to be big, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's going to be tested now.
Yep.
And some of the young arms that you really didn't need to depend on, you really didn't need them to step up in the regular season in terms of situational roles, maybe. But now, yes, you're going to need those guys to go out there and give you some quality innings.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was thinking about it, and it's very easy to say, this conference tournament doesn't matter. And I understand where people are coming from with that. Texas has already locked it up. But with my history, you've been able to unearth some gems out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there have been conference tournaments where all of a sudden a guy is starting because he has to, and you think, oh my God, what are we going to see?
Yeah.
And it clicks with him, and it clicks with you as a fan, and you think, we can use this guy for two innings when it really matters in a regional.
Yeah.
Because he has found something, and whatever he's been working on in the bullpen, and we haven't really seen him in action.
It, yeah.
So all of a sudden, if there's an Eckert or someone like that,
that's a great point,
who comes in and pitches really well, and you think, whoa, Drew Shiflett would be one of those guys. Recently, we saw some sinker slider stuff out of him, and I thought, this is a guy that we could use. So sometimes, even in a loss, my point is, so if they win today, let's say Kubitschek wins, and then that next start, you throw out a Shiflett or someone like that, and he just gains a lot of confidence by having a really good start. Sometimes even that loss with that experience can help you out, not only for the rest of this year, but also next year.
No, you're right about that. That's a really good point, and you never know what that can do to the confidence of a young player to step up, to give just a couple of quality innings, or to go out there and give you some quality reps in a pressure-packed situation like that in the postseason, and to actually see the hard work pay off. Like you said, they might have been working on something. Maybe there was a reason that he hadn't been used, utilized up until that point.
Working on something,
and then he goes out there and he's like, he sees the hard work pay off, and then the light comes on. He has that moment where it all clicks for him. And then you can start to see him trending in the right direction. That's a really good point.
All right, so we said we'd go around the 40 a little bit. Let's take a look at some Texas basketball, because couple things here. One, we got a schedule.
A little schedule note. And, I really hadn't heard much about this. Like, nobody really brought it up, so I didn't know if it was big news or not. Usually you see things like this trending. And for a while, Chris Beard was the big news. All we talked about was Chris Beard. And it seemed like there was something breaking every other day about Chris Beard, where this is a little nugget. I got it from Longhorns Wire, so I'll give them credit. Chris Beard and his staff have talked about, becoming a big-time program. And John Rothstein was the one who actually tweeted this out. This is kind of what a big-time program would do. There's a home-and-home series now between the Zags and the Longhorns from Gonzaga and Texas. It didn't start last year due to COVID, of course, but now they're going to begin next season in Spokane. So the return game will be in Austin in 2022. 2023. So that's pretty cool, man. I mean, that's a big time, non-conference game there, early season game that could get, you know, Chris Beard wants to pack the arena. I was going to say pack the drum. He'll be playing in a different arena soon, but he wants to pack the arena. He said publicly he wants it to be packed constantly. For games like that, though, it'll be easy. Yeah. To pack that arena. Yeah. You won't even have to worry about that. When the Zags come in town, everybody will want to see it. And I'm assuming they'll be ranked, I don't know, top 3, 4, 5, something next year. They'll be there. I mean,
Timmy said he's coming back.
Yeah. Then Timmy. There you go. The guy with the Fu Manchu. Yeah. He had an old man game.
He did have an old man game.
It's old man game. I like old man game, though. Old man game is cool.
That's all I had. So
the older you get, the more you appreciate the old man game.
I had an old man game as a young man, so I love old man game. Exactly. But yeah, no, I think those are the type of matchups they need. And then another thing you were talking about, actually sent this, was, I'm hoping this is the case, Greg Brown, we know he was in a tricky spot there, did not have the type of freshman year that he expected, any of us expected, and for a guy who was thought to be, this guy's going to be a lottery and a surefire number one, a first round pick.
He was.
I'm glad, because I've looked at a lot of mocks where he's at the very end of it, but the most recent mock, I think this was Gary Parrish, had not only Kai Jones in the first round, which we expected, but also Greg Brown.
Yeah, Greg Brown still seems to be hovering like right at the end of the first round. It's amazing, though, that Kai Jones, like you said, everybody has him now as a lottery pick. I've seen several different mocks that have him as a lottery pick.
I'm happy for that kid, man.
Yeah, it's good for him. This mock had Greg Brown at 30th. Yes, number 30 overall, selected by Utah. Yeah.
Okay.
So the thing about him going 30, though, I mean, he'll go potentially to a team that, and they don't need him to contribute in any way, form, or fashion, like very soon in the recent future. He actually can go into the developmental in the G League, and actually develop as a player. Kai Jones, though, I mean, he'll be drafted into the lottery. They have him here going to Memphis. Memphis selecting Kai Jones. So
okay,
I'm like, I guess Memphis will be at the back. Oh, maybe they got a pick, though, in the lottery that they got from a trade, though. They got a bunch of trade.
I could deal with that.
Yeah, man,
team him up.
I mean, that Memphis team has got some talent on him, man, some young talent. So that'd be good for him, though. I mean, it's been good to watch his journey, his ascent. Because, I mean, before the season started, there were no mock drafts that even had Kai Jones in the first round.
No. And now, he wasn't starting here.
That's a good point, too. Yeah.
He wasn't starting even towards the end, really.
Yeah. And just,
I guess, towards the very end, he may have.
And so that small sample size, though, it showed enough for scouts now to have him as a lottery pick.
One of the things, too, it was in Fort Worth, and he hit a fadeaway that all of us, I mean, he started to show.
I remember
a little
this.
Bit. You know the fadeaway I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that's going to make you some money.
I remember this play you're talking about.
Because he just continued to show more that, look, I'm not just a deer who is running up and down the court.
Which is impressive.
Which is really impressive.
Yeah, it's
his athleticism. It's easy to believe he started out in track, I believe, in the Bahamas early on.
Yep.
That, okay, this guy is a really damn good athlete, kind of is growing into this size, but grew pretty quickly. But, yeah, when he started showing a little bit of range and some other things, I thought, all right, that's enough in terms of projection, which is what the NBA draft's all about, for you to go in the first round, maybe even higher.
Well, and you just talked about it, right? It was a small sample size. He didn't even start the entire year, but look how quickly he started to project, right? Look how quickly this raised rate of development, if you will, in that short time span. So I think that's what they're looking at. They're saying, man, this guy exponentially could develop and get better if we give him access to NBA coaching and he can just focus on basketball all the time.
Right.
His ceiling is extremely high.
And I think we've talked about it with Osai, guys that are, I actually like the less experience you have. It tells me that there's more to actually scratch off that surface and that the ceiling is higher than we even think.
Totally. The fact that Joseph Osai didn't even see American football, didn't even see it. His eyes had not even gazed upon American football until he was like 10 or 11 years old.
I know.
And now in basically a 10-year span, I don't know, he's got to be 21, 22. So 10 or 11-year span, he has made himself a second-round draft pick in the NFL.
Yeah.
That guy's got a really high ceiling.
Like coming to America, Eddie Murphy, when he's at the St. John's game. I love basketball.
That's exactly it. I like this game.
Yeah, he stands up and cheers during the timeout.
In the face.
In the face!
In the face!
In the face!
I like this, huh?
I like this. I still have not watched that sequel, and I don't know if I will.
No, you don't need to.
Don't need to.
Exactly. See? Everybody will tell you don't need to watch
really?
It.
Really? It's not going to ruin the other one, is it?
No, but the expectations are so high because it was such an iconic, classic comedy, the first one, that...
But mine are going in low because I've talked to all y'all.
Okay, that's true.
It's pretty weak, though. It's just like, I was pretty low with it. I watched it, and I can barely remember anything about it.
That's
just right.
It's just one of those movies that just kind of passes over you, and you move on.
That's a great way of describing it. Sadly enough, you're right. Because I'm trying to think, what was the highlight scene that I can remember, and I can't remember them. And ironically, the first one has like 8 or 10 of those scenes.
Oh, God.
No, yeah, you just quoted that movie to oblivion, and now the second one, nothing.
Great. That's great.
There's not many scenes that aren't classic in that.
I know. And like, it's one after the other.
They got McDowell's getting hit up and robbed. And who's robbing it?
Samuel L. Jackson.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Come on, man. That was great.
God.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, we got about a little bit more than 30 to go here. We'll get back into the NBA, take a look at this weekend, preview the Mavs a little bit, and also recap what happened the last couple nights. This is The Horn. All right, I'll give it to y'all on this one. Now, you said the actual CD, the whole album, Purple Rain, that you like every song. This song.
Yeah, it's close.
This is his best song.
This, when some people say When Doves Cry,
okay,
is probably in there too, but you're right.
Personally, I just like this more.
This one has a very somber tone to it.
It does.
And you usually like feel-good songs, so I'm surprised this is the one you like, because it's a very, you know, somber.
It is.
Mood.
It's just
melancholy.
It's just such a good song.
It's a great song. It's a perfect song for the weather.
We're looking at purple.
But it's, I'm with you. It's a great song. I mean, I love this song.
Yeah. I'm with you. We finished on a good one with Prince.
Damn right.
Never said I didn't like him.
Exactly. You never said you didn't like him.
Never said I didn't like him.
You said he was overrated.
Just overrated.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
We've had some good tweets in. Good tweets and good texts coming in. We had someone on Twitch, it's funny, who said, John R. saving us from KD's boomer energy. I was like, perfect. I have had a little bit of boomer energy today.
Yeah, that's all right. We need a little boomer energy.
Gotta mix it up a little bit. Mix it up. But John is doing a fantastic job.
John's doing a great job.
In for BK. Well, BK will be back on Tuesday. John, we appreciate you pinch hitting.
Yeah, man.
You nailed the music today, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
John always nails me. John's got a very high musical IQ in terms of his taste, his musical palette.
Yep.
He is. I respect it.
Yeah, you actually would fit in well, and I know you've done it before. You did it today. Heck,
with Trey.
With Shirts and Skins.
Yep.
Because both those guys are
music
snobs.
Yes, no doubt. Yes, they are. I don't even like talking music with those guys because they're too snobbish.
No, it's too much.
It's too much. It's like, you know, it's too much because when we did the music survey, great bit by Craig and Jeff on Like the Tire, when they actually stole it, I think, from 105 Through the Fan.
Craig admitted
Dallas.
That.
Yeah, he admitted that because Craig's a classy guy.
Yeah,
but
we would have done that.
When they did it, Chad is the only one who took the survey who basically brought his own musical selections and when to be queued up.
Yeah.
Like, he queued them up himself. Like, you have to be queued up at this point
right
in
time.
The song. Yeah, at the 142 point in the song, that's when people understand why this is a great song and why I made the choice. So that's music snobbery.
You know what we call that?
What?
A sociopath. That's usually
it's music snobbery.
How that's defined. But we're all sociopathic in our own ways, right?
You damn right about
that. I was talking about food TV earlier and getting all pissed off.
Exactly.
Like, just relax, man.
Come on now.
Just watch the show and go cook a T-bone after.
It's food porn.
That's all
it is. It's made to be enjoyed.
It's made to be, well, not eaten, but kind of enjoyed like that. All right, so we got about 25 left here, and we're getting ready for this weekend. Yeah, crappy weather out there right now.
Came out of nowhere.
Man, it did.
It was like beautiful today. And it was sunny and raining, though. I do remember that. It was like sunny and raining at one point, which is kind of weird.
Yeah,
reminds me of Purple Rain.
It's like we just got this cloud that's just sitting all over Austin. Probably a couple clouds, but it's dark as hell.
Be safe out there, people.
Y'all be safe. Y'all have a good weekend. And one of the things that we'll be watching definitely this weekend is NBA action. You got Mavs Clippers tonight. That is the last game, and that will be on ESPN. All three on ESPN, I believe, tonight. And then you've got also Mavs Clippers on Sunday. When we come back on Tuesday.
You saying sweep? Break out the brooms?
I'm not. It's going to be 3-1 Mavs, and I think they win this in five. I mean, are they going to sweep this? Because I'll say this.
They can't sweep it.
It looks like they're going to sweep it.
It looks like there's no way that the Clippers would get swept by the Mavs. But
here's the reality, and Kawhi is seeing it, and we're seeing it on his face.
Okay, you
this
know what?
This is just not what they thought it was going to be.
No, you're right. You're
period.
Right. And by the way, they wanted this. The Clippers.
Yeah.
Remember, they're the ones who manipulated their lineup because they tried to avoid the Lakers late in the season. They didn't want, not late in the season, they didn't want to play them in the playoffs. So they kind of were manipulated their way to and through the standings so that they could position themselves to avoid the Lakers for as long as possible. But that ended up with them playing the Mavs. And I got to tell you, I think they might have been better off trying to play the Lakers later on than the Mavs. Because now you're humiliated if you get eliminated in the first round.
Right. At least if you lose to the Lakers, it's like, all right, we lost to the Lakers.
Defending champs, that's right. LeBron, that's an excuse. Now you're going to lose to an upcoming Luka. Now he's a superstar in the making, once in a generational type talent. We get that. But first round exit? Ooh, that means you got to blow everything up. That means everybody's got to go. That means you miss Kawhi. Kawhi's going to leave. Kawhi will leave. He's got an opt out. He'll leave.
Does he have an opt-out after this year?
I think he's got an opt-out after this year.
Oh, he would be gone.
He's going to go. He's going to leave.
Yeah, he doesn't like the Paul George experiment. And guess what? I don't blame him. The only thing I will blame him for is that this is what you asked for.
It's what you asked for.
If you get everything and you set it up that way, and LeBron has been in this spot at times before, too, in his
career. It's worked for him, though.
It has. Now, there's been some teams he's had where he gets pissed off, and it's like, dude, you built the team.
You built the team, bro.
You asked for everything, and you got it.
Yeah.
So this is what you got.
That's what you got.
And if you're going to play GM and you're going to play coach, that's the one thing about Jordan. Jordan has obviously been one of the worst GMs we've ever seen.
Oh, terrible.
Jordan had some say, but he didn't have the say that these guys do with the Bulls. And I can tell you why. Bill Cartwright, when he was traded, they traded Jordan's best friend, and Jordan was pissed about it and gave Cartwright crap up until when he was coaching. Right? He didn't like Luke Longley. You think he liked Tony Kukoc?
Kukoc.
We know about that.
Yeah.
Krause was building that team, and Jordan may have had a little say. He had to sign off on Rodman because Rodman was a nut. And it was more about, we need you to control
him. To regulate him,
will you do that? Yeah. Will you use your influence? Yeah, I'll do it because I want to win. But these guys, if you are building your team and you are acting as a GM, all right, you got to own it as a GM.
Yeah, and all these guys, like you said, they're brokering the deals. The GM is just there to sign off on it.
They're
brokering the deals. Then they're doing it on their vacations in the offseason.
Yeah.
They're hanging out with each other. Man, you want to team up? Like, yeah. What they say, Kyrie Irving and KD decided, was it? At the Olympics, or
I forgot where it was.
Is it the All Star Game? Like some one of those things, they got together and they basically started hanging out and saying, you know what, we should try to play together.
I'll say this for them on the court, that has completely worked. And you obviously throw in Harden and what they've been able to do, and that looks like an All Star team. I always thought Blake Griffin was overrated. I always knew he was not going to win anything by himself, or maybe even as a number two, as a four or five who just finishes off lobs at his age. You're good to go, man.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That they got a former, basically a superstar to be now. He's like the fourth or fifth on the team.
Yeah. Fourth or fifth option.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Nets are going to win it all, but I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong, because that means we got a hell. Because I think for somebody to beat this Nets team, I mean, it is going to take a superstar, like Herculean category 5 effort from somebody or some team.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to have to be LeBron.
It's going to have to be LeBron.
I don't see anybody else being able to do it.
Only team in the East.
And AD. Sorry, LeBron and AD.
Maybe the Bucks. I would like to see that Eastern Conference Finals, but I don't think they're going to beat them.
I don't think they're going to beat them. I think the only team that's got a shot, maybe the Lakers. That's it. Nobody else has got a shot. And the Lakers, I think it's an outside shot.
Yeah.
But they beat the Warriors when they were down. They were down, 3-1 to the Warriors?
They matched up.
And they came back.
And got it done.
So, different situation.
I'll tell you who won't beat the Nets, and that's the Celtics. And I don't think they should fire Brad Stevens. I know I've read that for the last couple of months, and that could just be Boston fans going nuts. But they got to kind of figure out with Tatum and Brown kind of the direction they're going. Because that's one of the problems, too, is that you have to build with such young guys, and you build around young guys. And unless you have a Luka, you're kind of gambling that they're going to be as good as you think, and you get a couple years into it, and they may not be as good as you thought.
Yeah, the Celtics thought they were going to be able to wait out LeBron's Eastern Conference existence.
Yeah.
They were like, we got a lot of young talent.
Right.
LeBron, the world is treating us, he's going west, man. When he leaves and goes west, we are the team.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kawhi comes over for 1 year and wins it all. kind of freaks them out a little bit. They're like, man, this is crazy. Wasn't you? Wasn't R? It's not going to deter us too much.
Right.
Then the Bucks start to come up. And it's like, damn, the Bucks are the team to be. And now you got the Nets experiment. So you trying to wait out LeBron, trying to time it just right so you can run the East, didn't work out. They never got their timing down where they were the best team in the East. They were supposed to be. They had the draft picks. They accumulated all the young talent. But they were never the best team in the East.
Nope, they weren't.
When LeBron left, it turned out it was Kawhi after that in the Raptors. And then after that, we got the Bucks. And then after that, Nets. It's not going to be them anytime soon.
No.
So they mistimed it, man.
Yeah, but you can see their timing, how they're looking at it. And thinking, there's going to be a vacuum.
There's going to be a vacuum.
Take advantage of
when LeBron leaves, but yeah, it didn't work out that way.
Hawks are leading the Knicks. That is the first game, and that is 20-19 right now. Hawks are leading them.
I love that series, man, and not because of the players. I love Trae Young. He's great.
But the atmosphere?
It's amazing.
It has been great. And I'm not sure what Atlanta will be like. I would think they're going to give a little bit back to New York. Trae Young is fun to watch. I got to give a lot of love to a former Bull and former Chicago guy just in general, Derrick Rose. I thought his career was done. This has been a nice little rebound, man.
It has.
You know, I mean, to where he all of a sudden is been a guy who you have to look for in this series. And he's had some really damn good games.
Yep.
And I didn't think he was ever going to play again. I thought his knee had gotten to the point where he was just going to be a 10-minute-a-game type guy.
Yeah. I notoriously, when he won the MVP, the year he won the MVP.
Did you call it?
I said he'll be the most overrated MVP in the history of the NBA.
Oh, God.
I said it then. Everybody was like, you're crazy. I said, man, he is. I said, Steph Curry's a better player right now. And everybody laughed at me. They were like, you're crazy. You don't know basketball. I said, Steph Curry is a better player right now than D. Rose. Everybody did. And like 2 years later, I said, hey, everybody, remember that take I had about D. Rose being the most overrated? By the way, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. What's the last MVP in the NBA he didn't go to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man.
There hasn't been one. I'm just telling you.
I got into the Basketball Hall of Fame
one.
2 years ago.
There
so
hasn't been one.
Anyone can get
anybody who's an MVP will go to Hall of Fame. But he ain't going. Most
he
overrated.
Right now.
No, he ain't going, period.
Well, and he's not
going
to do
he's
anything
not go.
This point on.
Yeah, most overrated MVP in history. But I will say I agree with you. I think he has rebounded nicely with his career. But I will say I was right about Derrick Rose years ago. I saw him cut for the first time, and I went, he ain't going to last?
Yeah.
Do you see him cut?
Oh, it was amazing.
I was like, yeah, it was amazing.
I'm a Bulls. I was loving it. Trust
and my
me.
Knees were hurting. Watch. I was like, dude, that's not going to last. You can't play like that. That is just, it was too violent and explosive. And I think that's the way it ended for him.
It got herky jerky and it was fun. And he was unstoppable.
He was.
But good call on your part. D. Rose has 11 points through the first here as the Knicks are playing the Hawks. We got Mavs, Clippers coming up later. We also have that on Sunday. So it's going to be a fun weekend. We've got college baseball as well. When we come back, we'll give you an update on that Oklahoma State-West Virginia game and also tell you what's on tap for the weekend.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time to wrap things up and put it in the oven. Before we do that, we got to let you know what's on tap. And before we do that, we got to encourage everybody out there. Man, pull over to the side if you can't drive in this rain. Turn around, don't drown, all that kind of stuff. Please be safe because this thing blew in and it is hellacious. I get scared. We can't see outside.
No.
I can't see anything up
here. It's actually lightened up a little bit over the last 5 minutes. It got pitch dark out there.
It looked like a monsoon.
Like tornado.
It looked like straight up monsoon or a tornado just touched down. That's crazy. So everybody out there, please be safe. You know I love you guys. I love all Austinites, but you guys cannot drive in the rain. Yeah,
we can't. I'll throw myself in there.
Yeah.
Austinites just can't drive
in the rain. It's all good. A lot of the things that Austinites do very well. I want to thank John for doing a great job today. John Reichel back there twisting and tweaking the dials. Also, shout out to all of the great servicemen and women who have paid the ultimate price, the last full measure, the supreme sacrifice for this country so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we do. We know it's not officially Memorial Day just yet, but for all those who have been touched by the loss of a serviceman or our woman who served this country, we truly appreciate it. And this weekend, if you get a chance to show your appreciation, please do so.
Well said. Very well said. Yeah, you can use this Monday and give people that deserve a thanks, give them a thank you. A little Oklahoma State update, West Virginia update. Texas will be taking on the loser. That'll definitely be later on tonight. That is not going to be a 7:30 start because Oklahoma State leads West Virginia 8-2. They're through 4.5 in OKC. So we'll see. That could be a really, really late start. Rod, the good thing is for Texas, this will be Texas' only game of the day. And so let's say West Virginia goes on to lose this. They got to turn around and then go play right away.
Yeah.
Texas Tech had to do the same thing earlier today and lost both of them.
Man, that's asking a lot
it
to
is.
Come right around.
Yeah, because you're deflated, you lose, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, you got to go.
Come back, you got to come back
and go.
Yeah, that could be really advantageous to a Texas team. I agree with you on that, too. So hopefully Texas can take advantage of it. Pete Hansen on the mound for Texas?
I would think it's got to be Pete Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
Go with Pete Hansen. If Texas wins, you go with Colby Kubicek tomorrow. And then if you win, and then at that point, that was a situation I gave earlier where all of a sudden you've got some guy who's never really started in that type of a game.
Yep.
And you'll see what they're made of. And sometimes you get really good performances and you find something you didn't know you had.
That's the diamond in the rough.
The little diamond in the rough.
Diamond in the rough.
What's on tap for you this weekend?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Going to go swimming in your front yard?
Seriously. I got to go check on. Yeah, I don't even know if I can drive home in this, actually. I'm interested to see with that. I'll probably watch some NBA basketball. Probably catch up, watch. And now, I'm going to watch. There's a Tyson documentary on Hulu.
Oh, you know what? I saw the preview of that.
Tyson documentary on Hulu. I've
Robin
not seen
Givens,
it.
Robin Givens, Don King.
I've heard it's great. He's one of the only stars that I think they can make a Last Dance type documentary about.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be just, it'd be really good. Like him and Tiger. I would say, I think that Mike Tyson is the greatest redemption story in the history of sports. I can't think of one that's better. I mean, you know, the guy that went to jail for rape, who used to talk about, I won't have interviews with women unless I can fornicate with them. He bit off a man's ear in the ring.
Eating children, I believe.
He said he wanted to eat somebody, Evander Holyfield, somebody's kids. I mean, he was just a horrible, sociopathic, sick, demented mofo. And now we love him.
Yeah.
Now we love it. Like he's like a household name. Everybody loves Mike Tyson. Nobody else had a story like that, man.
He's
nobody.
He's going to be doing a show with Martha Stewart before we know it.
He probably will be.
He probably already has. What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, you're behind the time.
I'm sure I already missed it. All right, we'll be back on Tuesday. We have Monday off, as Rod said. Think about all the people that have served this country. And if you know anyone, tell them thank you very much on Monday. Y'all be safe, man. I'm not sure what this weather is going to be like all weekend. But right now, this is no joke. So be safe getting home. Y'all have a great extended weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday. Don't forget Texas baseball coming up later on tonight right here on the Horn. Oklahoma State and West Virginia, they're through 4.5 right now, so that's still going to be a little while. And if everything's stuck right now, Texas would be taking on the Mountaineers for the fifth time in just over a week. John Reichel, thank you very much, sir. Very good job. BK will be back on Tuesday. That'll do it for us. Peace, y'all.